Good morning. Welcome to the Vineyard. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here. We are so excited that you've decided to worship with us this morning. Y'all sounded really good during worship, so I'm pumped up. I know that God's already moving in this place, so I'm really excited for what he's going to do through the message, which we're going to start in just a minute. But before we get started with that, we're going to be receiving our offering. So if I can have the ushers, please come down to the front. And while they're doing that, I just want to take a moment and I want to thank those of you who choose to give to God through VC. We are seeing lives changed around here week in and week out, not just during our weekend services, but even during our weekday events. And that's due in part to your faithful giving. So thank you for sacrificing and giving back to God what he's already gracefully given to you so that we can continue to serve the kingdom of God here in Phoenix and around the world. Let's pray, and then we're going to get going with the message, all right? Lord, we thank you that you allow us to worship you in this way with our finances and with our lives and even with our mouths and singing. And God, I just pray that you come over this place, that your Holy Spirit comes, God, and falls here. And Lord, I pray for all the hearts that you've already prepared for this moment right now. God, that you'd soften our hearts to the message today so that you can really speak. And Lord, would you give me the gift of teaching? God, would you speak through me today? Would you put on my heart the things that you want to be said, Lord, that we can hear what you have for us today? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so as you can see, I have overpacked. And it's not because I'm a glamorous person. I mean, this is as good as it gets. GQ magazine is not calling me anytime soon. But the point is I always overpack. And maybe you're like me. I mean, you're glamorous people, of course, beautiful, fashionable people. But you overpack also. You tend to overpack wherever you go. And there's others of you who I admire very much. This is an elite group of people. I call you one bag ninjas because no matter where you go, you can always just pack one bag. And it blows my mind. It's incredible. I'm pretty sure you're some kind of superhero if you can just pack one bag everywhere you go. You're an amazing person. But here I am with my bags. That's how I roll. So I want to talk about these bags today because what's in these bags, we all carry at some point. And some of us might be carrying these bags even now. And so why are they here? Well, I'm going to leave this wrapped in mystery and I want to show you. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 10 through 20. You can turn there now in your Bible or on your tablet or whatever you have. But before I read, I just want to set up the story a little bit. There's this guy named Saul, and he's been selected, he's been anointed by God through the prophet Samuel to be the first king of Israel. And so we pick up in verse 20, and this is where Saul is about to be shown to the people of Israel. He's about to be revealed as the first king of God's people, of Israel. So we pick up in verse 20. So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Matrites was chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He is hiding among the baggage." So the first king of Israel, he had already received his calling. He had already been selected by God. He'd been anointed with oil. I mean, they did the whole deal. He knew what he was supposed to do. But when the time came for him to step into his purpose, for him to step into his role, he was nowhere to be found because he was hiding among the baggage. You see, Saul had a baggage problem. And I have something I want to tell you today. I do too. And so I wonder, how many of us have a great calling on our life, but we're so weighed down by our baggage that we never reach our God-given potential? Because if we were to read on in Saul's story, what we would figure out is he never dealt with his baggage problem, and what that resulted in for him wasn't great things. And so you've probably figured out by now that these bags aren't just bags. These are spiritual roadblocks. These are the things that keep us from God's best plan for our life. These bags will cheat us out of the abundant life that we can have through Jesus. And so we have this decision to make. There's really only two options on the table. Either we continue to carry the heavy bags with us everywhere we go as they get heavier and heavier in life, or we rethink what we really need as we travel through this life. And we learned to travel light. I'm hoping that we're choosing the latter option today. And so how do we travel light? Well, the first way we travel light is we let go of the distractions of right now. We let go of the distractions of right now. Now, there are so many things in this bag. There's so many things we can fit into this bag. But what is actually in here? What is in our bag of distractions? Well, first and foremost, it's our stuff. Our stuff, our material things. The pursuit and comfort that brings stuff, or the stuff that brings comfort. That's what fits so neatly into this bag of distractions. But it's not just the material things, is it? Because there's other things. I mean, there's hobbies, there's social media, movies, our career, TV shows, emails, meetings. We have Netflix, YouTube. Relationships can be in this bag. Even socializing, over-socializing can be in this bag. And that's just to name a few things. I'm obviously speaking very generally about this bag of distractions. But here's the deal is you know what your distractions are. And if you don't know, if you're married, ask your spouse. They will be happy to share with you what your distractions are. If you're not married, that's okay. Ask a friend, ask a mentor, ask your parents. Again, more than happy to share with you what your biggest distraction is. Now, you may have noticed that I skipped a really big distraction. Maybe the biggest distraction of adults by far, at least statistically. It's right here. This is the phone, by the way, in case you don't know. It's what's in here. Now, hold the phone. Oh, come on. Is it that early? That's terrible. Dad joke. I'm a dad. I can get away with these things now. Now, I'm really not saying that these are bad. I'm not trying to vilify smartphones because, hey, I have one. Hey, I use it. These things are incredibly powerful tools. These things have changed society forever. They change the way we live our day-to-day life. And smartphones can be a really, really good thing. But sometimes the good things in our life get in the way of the great things. You see, often what distracts us isn't inherently a bad thing. It only becomes a bad thing when it gets in the way of the God things. And you know what? We find this in Scripture. Let's look at this story about a good person trying to do a good thing, but ultimately that good thing gets in the way of the great thing. It's in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus responds, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Martha is doing what most of us would do if Jesus is coming over. We would clean. I mean, if Jesus is like, "Hey man, I'm heading over to your house. I'm running for the vacuum. That toilet brush is going to be in use, and I'm lighting every single scented candle that my wife has ever purchased." Because cleanliness is next to... That's not in the Bible, but you guys know it. That's good. That's like pseudo-scripture. And I'm involved in our youth program, so maybe that's just hanging out with middle schoolers too much that I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely true. That should be in the Bible. But it's not, in case you were wondering. Okay, sorry. Back to Mary and Martha. A few things I really want to key into this passage. And the first thing is in verse 40. We read that Martha is distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. You know, sometimes in our Christian walk, we spend so much time waiting or preparing for Jesus to be with us that when he is with us, we don't give him the time of day. In other words, we spend so much time focusing on the religious activities that we forget that there is a relationship attached to those activities. Again, we're trying to do a good thing, but they get in the way of the great thing. So the passage says that Martha was distracted and she becomes very frustrated with Mary. So let's look again at how Jesus responds to Martha in verse 41, and I love this response. He says, "Martha, Martha," I just picture him shaking, "Martha, Martha," like in a loving way, of course, this is Jesus we're talking about. He says, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." Hear this, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, Martha, there is always going to be something to clean. There is always going to be another thing to do. There's always going to be problems that need to be fixed. But right now, in this moment, I am enough. And it's not that your choice is bad, but you see, spending time in my presence is better. And so I wonder, do you see yourself as a Martha or as a Mary? By the how fast I speak, you can probably tell I'm a Martha, for sure. And so I think many of us, including myself, fall into this Martha camp. I mean, think about it. We go to church, but our mind is already on lunch or whatever we're doing this afternoon. I mean, we go to small group, but we're thinking about that conversation we had at work. We're thinking about that meeting that we have the next day. We go home to our children after work, and all we can think about is that email we still need to send. We spend time in prayer, but the notifications keep coming on our phone. So our phone buzzes constantly, distracting us from the great things. I mean, we're there, but we're not. Human beings have this incredible capacity to be physically present for something, but mentally and spiritually on another planet. And the point is that we have some good things going on. These are good things. But you see, sometimes we let the good things get in the way of the great things, or even the greatest thing. So when we choose to travel light, we must let go of distractions. Now I want to share with you how this really lands home with me. I have two little kids at home. Obligatory, aw, thank you. I do love them. My children bring me so much joy. I am so blessed. I don't take for granted the fact that God has entrusted me with these two little lives, and I love spending time with them. My daughter Caroline is 5, and the way I can describe her is that she is a performer, okay? And what that means is that she likes to sing. She likes to dance and dress up and pretend. And what you need to know about performers is performers require an audience. So who do you think that is? I'm not a step into the door and I hear my first of 100, "Look, daddies," as I walk in. And you know what? I love hearing, "Look, daddy, watch daddy," over and over again. Who doesn't? But I gotta confess something to you. I really wanna look all the time, but I don't always look. There are moments when my head is somewhere else. I'm still at work in my mind. I'm buried in an email or a text message, or I'm watching the game, or I'm scrolling through social media. And I think you're gonna stand with me here, and that's not how you want your children to remember you. That's not how I want my children to remember me. And I've read the books on parenting. I'm a youth pastor. I know how this works. If I don't give my daughter the affirmation and attention she needs now, there's gonna come a day when she looks elsewhere for it. And that's just the reality. That's not really what I want, but that's reality. You see, the fact is, there is always something else to do, something that takes me away from what's happening right in front of me. And now our homes may look different. Our habits may be different. Our distractions may be different, but you see, the principle of the matter is the same. The fact is that God has entrusted each one of us with great things. And so we can't let the good things get in the way of that. We may need to put some boundaries on some really good things so that we can be present for the best things. Because today matters. God gave you today, not for tomorrow, but for today. So don't waste it. Because tomorrow, there is no guarantee. You see, there's a very spiritual war going on in this area of distraction. The Bible says that our enemy, the devil, is on the prowl. And he is the father of lies, and he is a thief, a smart one. And what he'll do is he'll introduce and reintroduce distractions into your life. So if he can't blow your life up all at once, he'll take it away from you, one distraction at a time. So we must make the decision to ditch our distractions. And there's only one place we can put these things, and that's at the cross of Jesus Christ. And there may be times we have to circle back around, because I gotta tell you, the devil is relentless in trying to take life away from us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has created as good. And so there's gonna be times where we put things at the cross and we have to make another trip back. But what you need to know is that God's mercies are new every single day. And so we can do that knowing that God wants us to make that trip back whenever something gets in the way of what's right in front of us. Now, sometimes the distractions of today aren't the only things that weigh us down. Sometimes it's the past that keeps us from moving forward. And this bag can be really heavy. This bag can be paralyzing, immobilizing in our life. And sometimes we don't even realize how heavy it really is. So if we want to travel light, we must let go of the guilt of the past. Some of you may know the story of Peter, Simon Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' closest followers. He was outspoken about his faithfulness to Jesus. He vowed that he would never leave Jesus' side, that he was going to be faithful to the end, even to death. And in Luke 22, we see this claim tested. And we don't have time to read the whole account, so I'm going to give you the cliff notes so we can get caught up. After Jesus was arrested, they brought him to the house of the high priest. And Peter's outside, he's around a fire, and there's a servant girl there, and the servant girl recognizes him. And she says, "That man was with Jesus." And so Peter denies knowing Jesus one time. A little later, someone else says, "Hey, you were with him, you were with Jesus." Again, Peter denies knowing Jesus again, two times. An hour later, he's accused of being associated with Jesus just one more time, one more shot to redeem himself, to work himself out of the hole he's already dug. And he denies Jesus a third time. And the scriptures say that when he denies Jesus the third time, Jesus turns and he looks at him. And the Bible doesn't say what Jesus' face looked like in that moment. But knowing what I know about Jesus, this wasn't a face of anger, of disappointment. This was a face of compassion. Because in that moment, he knew what Peter was going to be up against. He knew that Peter was going to be carrying heavy guilt for the rest of his life. Many of you know that this story doesn't end with Jesus being released. Shortly after Peter's betrayal, Jesus is wrongly convicted. He's hung on a cross. And Peter watches the whole thing. Can you imagine the guilt he felt as Jesus was beaten, mocked, and murdered? This had to be the darkest moment of Peter's life, because he did something that he swore he would never do. And I think we can relate to that. I know I can. I mean, I bet there are many of us in this room who have done some things in our past that we swore we would never do. And the guilt of what we have done, what we haven't done, or what's been done to us can seem really, really heavy. And it's what's in this bag. And we may think because of what's in this bag, God can never use us. God can never use someone that has this kind of darkness, that has this kind of filth, that has these embarrassing things in our past. They're too shameful. So there's no way God can work with such a broken person. And so you know what we try to do? We try to just carry the bag. But we're weighed down by the shame. We're weighed down by the guilt. We feel like what's in this bag is who we are. And you know what? That may be true if it were up to us. But there is good news. But God. But God in our brokenness. But God in our guilt and our shame, he intervenes. And we see him intervene in Peter's story. Yes, Peter had failed. He had made a mistake, a big one. But Jesus never quits on him. You know why? Because Jesus, he is a redeemer. Our God is a redeeming God. And we see this in John chapter 21. Jesus had appeared to some of the disciples, and we pick up with Jesus standing on the shore watching his disciples fish. They'd gone back to their old profession. Let's pick up in verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. See, Peter couldn't wait to see Jesus, even after all he'd been through. And Jesus meets him on the shoreline, and they eat together. Fast forward a few verses to verse 15. This is their conversation. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. He said, "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I want you to notice a parallel here. Peter denies Jesus three times. And we just read in this account that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. That kind of symmetry cannot be ignored. And it's really important that we see this, is that Jesus reinstated, he redeemed Peter and his past in the way that Peter had disqualified himself. You see, Jesus is propelling Peter into his future. Jesus said, "You may have messed up, but you know what? Your identity isn't your mistakes." Jesus points to that bag of guilt that Peter is carrying, and he says, "You're not going to need that where I'm sending you. You're not going to need that where you're traveling." And there are two big truths in this story that it's very important that we see. The first one is you can't change the past, but God can change your future. See, Peter, he made mistakes, and so have we. Peter had a great calling on his life, and so do each of us. The things in our past can carry incredible weight over the way that we view our future and our calling. And it did for Peter. But the question is, do we let our past disqualify us from our calling? I mean, it's true that Peter cannot take back the day that he denied Jesus. It happened. It's in a book. And in the same way, we cannot take back the things that we've done in our past because they have happened, but here is the good news. Our identity is not who we were. Our identity is who we are becoming. Something you need to know about Jesus is that when we follow him, his love doesn't dwell on our past. His love focuses on our potential. So we must stop looking back on the guilt of our past and start looking forward, because you can't change the past. But God can change your future. The next big takeaway from this passage as we let go of the guilt of our past is God is far more concerned with lasting healing than short-term feelings. Look back at verse 17. Jesus is asking Peter a third time if he loves him. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. The text says that Peter was hurt. You see, Jesus was digging at something, and I think Peter understood what he was getting at. And Jesus didn't want to embarrass Peter, didn't want to belittle him, but Jesus wanted to be perfectly clear with him because he wanted to heal him. He wanted him to let go of what he was holding on to. And sometimes God has to get really obvious. Sometimes he has to get really direct. And in order to do that, Jesus had to look past the possibility of some hurt feelings. See, the truth is that as we let go of the guilt of our past, there may be times that are really painful. Here at the Vineyard, we understand the importance of letting go of our past, but we also understand that it can be very difficult. And so we offer different types of groups here, healing groups here, to deal with your past hurts. Groups like Grief Share, Divorce Care, Healing from the Inside Out, Living Free. And these are excellent ways to identify and choose to let go of the things that weigh us down. If we want to reach our God-given potential, we have to put this bag where it belongs. Because if we carry it, it only gets heavier. It only gets more unbearable. And there's only one place that bag can go if we really want to get rid of the guilt of our past. And once we've let go of these things, once we've said, you know what, no more. God, I want you to have these things. Because he wants to take them. Once we do that, we can travel towards our destination. When we let go of our baggage, it's often a process. It's a decision followed by a process. And there is a name for this process, and it's a theological term. It's sanctification. I can't spell it, but I can say it. And this is the process of being made holy. This is the loving pursuit of God towards us, and in turn, our response back to him. And part of this process is letting go. This is how we need to live out our Christian life as we travel towards our destination. I want to encourage you by reading something written in the book of Hebrews. And to understand this scripture within its context, let's just set this up a little bit. In the chapter before this, chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews basically lists the Faith Hall of Fame. People you may know, like Noah, Jacob, Moses, Abraham, Rahab, David, Samuel. Pick them, they're all in there. And these people provide an example of the type of faith and focus we need to arrive at our destination. The type of faith and focus we need to pursue our calling that God has put on each one of our lives. And so after outlining these people that God has used in incredible ways, the Hebrew writer says this, in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an incredible imperative for us to take hold of. In other words, because the people of faith who came before us struggled, and by the grace of God they overcame so much, we too should join them in this resilient faith. And how is this possible for us? Well, the same God that empowered them, it empowers us today. The same God who spoke to them can speak to you too. You know, we misunderstand sometimes that these heroes of the faith are some kind of superhero, where the fact is the only true hero in the whole Bible is Jesus. These are ordinary people that are listed, but God is working through them in extraordinary ways. Not by their own power, not by something they've conjured, but by God working through them. Now, how did that happen? Well, I gotta tell you that these people all have something in common. They made things really clear in their life by throwing off everything that entangled them. They didn't let anything get in the way of what God was trying to do in their life. And if we want to live an extraordinary life, then we must do this too. We have to be willing to let go of the regrets of our past. We have to be willing to let go of some of the good things, the distractions of right now, so that we can enjoy the great things. We also need to let go of the fear of what's coming in the future. Because these are the things that truly entangle us. These are the things that weigh us down as we pursue our calling from God. And so we put off those things. And here in verse 2, this is very important. we fix our eyes on Jesus. What you may have already discovered is that as you focus on Jesus, as you invest in relationship with him, you see your identity begin to change. You see your vision changes. The way that you see your life is different. You may look back at the things that you've placed at the cross and say, you know what? Those things clearly don't belong. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more odd those things look, the more out of place they look. The baggage you used to carry, you don't even really recognize anymore. And the reason is, as a Christian, the things that used to define you do not define you anymore. Because Jesus and his identity he's given you is the thing that defines you now. In Galatians 2:20, it says, when you became a Christian, you were crucified with Christ. And it's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you. And so the reason we can let go of our baggage and put it at the cross of Jesus is because he died for the things that separate us from God. And let me tell you, those things will separate you from God's good plan for your life. Jesus died for the things that separate us from God. So as Christians, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus, and in return, we get a wonderful prize. We get grace and truth. We get God's grace, which is his love, and we get his truth, which is his direction and his wisdom. One bag ninja. This is how we travel light. When we have grace and truth, and we carry this with us wherever life may take us, it is more than enough. It is more than sufficient for wherever you go in life. In my own life, when I carry this bag, when I choose to travel this way, I'm a better man. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better son. I'm a better employee. I'm a better brother. I'm just better. And it's not because something that I'm doing. It's something that God is doing through me. And what's so cool is it's not something that's special about me. It's something that's very special about our God. And he offers this bag to anyone who will pick it up. Anybody. When we focus on Jesus, we are immobilized for the kingdom of God. God can use us in extraordinary ways when we decide to travel light. And I get pretty pumped up about this message. And I get pretty pumped up because 10 years ago, I had some baggage. I was getting out of the Marine Corps. I had some stuff in my life that really wasn't good stuff. I was carrying around some guilt, some shame. I was focused on some not so good things. And there was this still small voice. It was God. He began to call me to himself. And I made a decision to let go of those things. And what I've seen is God has absolutely changed my life. He's changed the way that I see the world. And again, it's not something that I'm able to do. It's not a decision necessarily that I have made. It's what God is doing through me. And what becomes so apparent is that God wants to do it through you too. So I'm left to ask the question, what distractions of right now need to be put in their proper place so that you can travel light for the glory of God? What things do you need to put aside so that God can use you? What are the things of your past that weigh you down that you finally need to let go of, that you need to place at the cross of Jesus? Because once we do that and we pick up the bag of grace and truth, there is no stopping what God can do through you. Would you stand? Can I have the ministry team please come to the front, please? You know, some of you are unsure about letting go because you understand how painful it is to let go of something. Especially if you've been holding on to it for a long time, and some of you have been holding on to it for decades. And I know it hurts to let go, but our God is a healing God. He wants to heal you. He wants to get you free. So if you desire freedom in your life, if you want to be used for God's purpose, and you don't want to be weighed down by your stuff, You don't want to be weighed down by your baggage. Lay it at the cross of Jesus. And you can do that business right now. God can read your thoughts. You may have to do some business with God. You may have to identify some areas of your life that you've kept in the dark for a very long time. But you see, God sent his son into the world to shine light into darkness. Some of you may claim that light, that you know that light, but you're not letting that light shine in that darkest place. So I want to encourage you. Let the light shine in that dark place. Let God take care of your burden because he loves you. He wants to use you. He wants to set you free, and he wants to heal you. But he can only do that when you choose to let go of the things that are weighing you down, when you choose to get rid of your baggage. There are many of you that just have this stronghold and it needs to break. And maybe you shouldn't do this on your own. Maybe you shouldn't be standing alone right now. You need the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So we have this prayer team up front, up here, our ministry team. And they love to pray for you. They love to encourage you. It's a safe place to get prayer, to be encouraged, and to feel God's presence in your life. So if you're here and you're really battling, you're really fighting that battle, take this opportunity. Take this opportunity to get prayer, to do business with God. Because today matters. If you'd like prayer for anything else, even if it's not about the message, please come down to the front and get ministry from our ministry team members down here. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the work that you've begun and that you've finished. Lord, I pray for those that are sitting on the fence right now. They don't know what to do. Maybe they feel so tied to their baggage that they've never really thought about letting it go. Lord, would your assurance be on them right now? Would your grace and your mercy fill them? That they understand that your plan is better than any plan that they can have for themselves, that you're not holding out, God. You are a God of abundant life. Lord, would you help us embrace the great things in our life and put aside the good things? Would you bring things to mind right now and help us to be bold and brave as we make decisions to pursue you, to pursue your calling? And Lord, most of all, would you fix our eyes on you? Help us to see the things that you want us to see so we can do the things that you want us to do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Guys, have a great morning. See you next time.